Well, good morning. As you know, church is a place and is a community where we walk through life together. And one of the joys of that life is celebrating with students during some of their significant transitions. And so today, on our Graduate Sunday, that is the emphasis of this service. For many of these graduates, you will know them. You will recognize them. They are students that you saw dedicated in this community of faith. They are students that you have helped to teach and to nurture during their preschool and worship care, their children's Sunday school, their youth trips and vacation Bible schools. They are students that you've seen grow up. And so as we celebrate the presence of God and the Holy Spirit in their lives this morning, let's give thanks and gratitude to a God that is involved in all the different areas of our life. My name is Alan Smith. I serve here as the Associate Minister to Students, and it is my joy and privilege to welcome you to worship this morning. I hope you'll notice the friendship pads that are seated either on the end of your pews or maybe in the hymn racks in front of you. We do invite you to take these and pass them down. We hope it will give you a chance to become a little bit more familiar with those who are worshiping around you this morning. We know there are plenty of guests with us on this special morning of worship in our community of faith, and we do welcome you to worship this morning. And now, you will notice there are plenty of our graduates that will be leading in the service this morning. And so let us now hear from the Psalms as one of our graduates leads in worship.
Good morning. I will be reading from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6 and 14. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. In verse 14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well.
Glad adoration. going on, guys? So as you can see, looks like we're graduating. And with that comes a lot of stress, but also some visions of having good fun in college. But these past experiences have really got my gears turning in my head. And I've realized that I don't have to be so scared as I once thought I did, because I know that God is watching over me. But I've also realized that I can come back here to this church where I've grown up, and I can talk to people if I ever have issues. Like, this church really is a family to me, and it has always been, and it will never stop being.
Okay, so I want to let you in on a little secret. When you get to be older like me, your parents stop making you go to church. Now, my parents started giving me that choice a couple years ago and have every day since then, and I'm still here. One of the biggest things that keeps me coming back to church for services and mission trips and Wednesday nights is the fact that there are all these amazing people here that I can be myself with. You might have heard one of the verses that Lauren read that said, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made." And being at church with all of my friends allows me to be who God intended me to be. So even as I head off to college and into the real world where I won't always be accepted for who I am, I know that I always have a place where I am loved and can come as I am because God made me that way. So let's pray. Hey God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for all these amazing people here at this church. And I pray that you will just lead us into this day and give us a wonderful day, and that we can always be who we are because we know that you accept us as we are. Amen.
To you, not to win your favor, but to express our thanks. It is our privilege to respond to your grace and love by doing good with the resources entrusted to us. Let us give with generosity and joy as true brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli, and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling to the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At the time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord.
The word of the Lord. Well, graduates, and all who are here, congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You might recognize those words, particularly after the title of the sermon was already printed as, "Oh, the places you'll go." Those are the first four lines of that book, well made known by, written by Dr. Seuss. And no, in case you're wondering, I'm not just going to read the book this morning and try to call that a sermon. But that book, "Oh, the Places You'll Go," was actually the book that I received as a gift from my church at my own graduate Sunday several years ago. In fact, I think I recall receiving it two or three different times during that graduate season because it seemed everywhere I went, that's what someone thought would be a good graduate gift. I guess that tells you something about the originality of gifts for graduates these days. You see, but it makes me wonder, what is it about that book, what is it about the idea, "Oh, the places you'll go," that makes it such a popular gift during the graduation season? And no, that's not what you're getting today, but we'll get to that later. I think the charm comes from the open-endedness of the book. It opens up imagination. I mean, who doesn't want to believe that anything in the world is possible for a bunch of young, bright-eyed students that are graduating high school? And let me pause here and make sure we say if we have not said it enough, that this is a wonderful and special group of high school graduates that has really unlimited potential. And all of us in this room are excited to see what follows you from this day forward. You see, the truth is we don't know what the future holds. And I think that's one reason why the story that was just read, the story of Eli and Samuel, is so appropriate for this morning. We read of the young boy Samuel ministering under the guidance of Eli, a priest. His parents are Hannah and Elkanah, and they are back home, having left Samuel to minister with Eli in the temple, in the presence of the Lord. And so I think it's very natural, it's very easy for us to read this story and imagine a young Samuel, a young boy who's waking up in the middle of the night and going in a way, almost as if a young child would be awaking his or her parents every time a noise was heard in the evening. But I think instead, as we read it this morning on a graduate Sunday, let's for a minute imagine Samuel being a young adult, away from home, much like these students will find themselves in just a few short months. The Lord calls out to Samuel, but Samuel does not even realize that it is the Lord who is calling out to him. So Samuel turns and responds to Eli. He responds to someone who is known. He responds to someone who is familiar. Unfortunately, Eli, after a couple of times, realizes that this voice, this mysterious voice calling out to Samuel, must be the Lord. And Eli instructs Samuel to respond, and the next time it is heard with those familiar words, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Hear those again, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Words that I hope our graduates will say not only today, but in the days to come. You see, often it's easy to stop the story there and to take away a lesson about listening to God and recognizing the voice and the call of the Lord, even when we may not notice it at first. And that's a wonderful lesson. Please continue to do that. But this morning we continue on in the story. Samuel listens as the Lord shares with him that the house of Eli will fall. And this young adult Samuel, he's pretty scared. The author writes that Samuel is fearful as he lays thinking about what it will be like for him to have to share this news with Eli, because he knows Eli is going to ask him what the Lord had said. He's going to have to go to his mentor and his priest, Eli. I confess, I would be fearful too. Even today, having had much more life experience than maybe Samuel had at that time, I don't know that I could go talk to someone about this tragic news that their house would fall away. I mean, it certainly doesn't seem like it's my place, just like it probably doesn't seem to Samuel like it's his place to share this news. I'm really not sure why Samuel didn't turn back to the Lord and say, "Hey, great story, but that sounds like a thing between you and Eli, so maybe I'll let you tell him what's going on and stop trying to put me in the middle of your stuff." I mean, putting me in the middle of issues between the Lord and Eli and Eli's sons, that house, no thank you. You know, it actually reminds me of where I was just 4 years ago, even this week. I was a recent graduate, having just completed divinity school, and for some reason, thinking that I needed more experience in the hospital, I enrolled in a summer internship as a chaplain with UNC Chapel Hill. So here I am. I remember the moment vividly. It was the Friday after Memorial Day. I had been in the hospital for about 4 days. We had learned all the important stuff, like here's where room 501 is, and here's what you're supposed to wear every day, and here's where you can get a soda or a slice of pizza if you're hungry. You know, all the stuff that made us expert chaplains right away. But that's when our supervisor, my friend Carl, turned to myself and the other chaplain interns and said, "All right, it's Friday afternoon, time to go ahead and visit somebody." Well, you can probably imagine how I responded to that, especially those who know me well. I started off, sure, with a lot of eagerness, which was quickly followed with, just tell us what we're supposed to do when we go make that visit. And Carl would look at us and say, "You know what to do." Okay, well, maybe I didn't phrase it properly, that I had some questions about the process. So, I was getting a little bit anxious. "Okay, Carl, well, when are we gonna go over what to say? Is there like a script, or what do you kind of do as you go in the room? When are you gonna teach me how to do this?" And Carl looks at me and says, "You know what to do." And I think by now several of the other interns were on their way out to the hallways, and I was still sitting there, very nervous, very uncertain of myself, and I thought maybe I just didn't ask questions that were quite detailed enough for Carl to give me the help I'm looking for. "So Carl, should I take a Bible with me? Do you suggest that I read something when I'm in the room? Or what do I say when I knock on the door? Or what if the person in the room is not even Christian and has no interest in seeing the chaplain?" All very valid questions, I'm sure, and all things I thought I should get the answers to before I start walking room to room, visiting with all these patients and their families. And by now, I'm sure you can guess what Carl told me. "You know what to do." Every time, he would look at me and say that same phrase. So it was clear to me. There were no more time for questions. It was just time to suck it up and go make some visits. And so I did. And it was fine. And I even remember some of the conversation of that first visit with an older woman that afternoon. And I remember many more visits and situations that I dealt with throughout the entire summer, throughout the entire experience. Most of which I could have never been prepared for before walking into a room. You could have never crafted a hypothetical situation with all the dynamics that were in play. I'm sure some of them went better than others, and that's part of the learning experience. But at the same time, I know that at the end of the summer, as I looked back at every single visit, at every single conversation that was had, I was not alone because God went with me. So just as it was for me, it was too for Samuel. He was afraid to share with Eli all the news that the Lord had shared with him. But Samuel did speak up because the Lord had called him to do so. And Eli listened. And even as we heard read from verse 19, that as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him. Just as the Lord was with me and my fellow chaplains in any of our visits at the hospital. And so it will be for each of our graduates, and so it continues for any of you as we reflect on these words this morning. The Lord is calling you, each of you. You may not realize that it is the Lord, just as Samuel did not recognize that it was the Lord at first. But you each have people in your lives that are here to help you see, to give you eyes and ears to recognize the voice of the Lord. So our question this morning is, what will it be for you? What is it, graduates and others, that you might be called to do? What is it that you will be fearful of speaking about, of sharing with others in your community, yet at the same time you feel called to go and share? I've got a few ideas. Maybe you will be people who continue to stand up for those who are oppressed, even just as many of you did with us during our Disciple Now retreat, where we took blessing bags and prayed with people living in Moore Square couple years ago. Maybe you will be people who continue to care for individuals with special needs, just as many of you have helped with Buddy Break here at our own church over the years. Or maybe you will continue to be people who care for those who have suffered great loss, just as you have by attending so many of our mission trips, even the recent ones to Lumberton, North Carolina. Maybe you will even feel called into brand new spaces that we cannot even begin to imagine as we sit here this morning. It might be related to poverty, either in our own country or overseas. Might be related to popular movements going on these days related to Me Too, racism, or even needs related to education in our own country. We don't know the specifics of where and to what you might feel called, but it is sure to be an incredible journey as you go. So wherever you feel called to go, I want you to remember one more line from Dr. Seuss's poem, Oh, the Places You'll Go. It says, you know what you know. And it just reminds me of my friend Carl so many years ago telling me, you know what to do. So trust yourself. Trust the experience that you've already had. Trust God to equip you to be able to go wherever you are called. For like Samuel, you might be fearful of following God to all the places where you are called. But do not fear, for God is with you. And just like Eli, who heard the words from Samuel and felt the presence of the Lord even in his own life, may all of us see the Lord through the witness that is the faithfulness of even these graduates. Oh, the places you'll go. Amen.
And for each of us, regardless of our age, as we go, wherever we go, we are strengthened by the feast at this table. And on this day of all days, it is a privilege for all of us to join together and celebrate Holy Communion, commemorating the Last Supper that fuels our community and reminds us of our ongoing grace and forgiveness. With gratitude for Alan and his personal touch and his charge to this wonderful senior class, and with appreciation for all who are gathered here, let us prepare our hearts to receive these elements as our deacons come. The scripture says when Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room, he took the bread and he broke it. And as he did, he said, this is my body broken for you. Think on this bread as you receive it. If you're a guest with us, we invite all who name the name of Christ to observe and celebrate the elements of communion with us on this day.
Thank you.
The bread we hold not only represents the broken body of Christ, but reminds us that we are the body of Christ, to be his hands and his feet in the world, serving with our best gifts in the spirit of generosity and compassion. Now, in the words of Jesus, take, eat, do this in remembrance of me. At that Last Supper, Jesus took the cup and, having blessed it, shared it with his disciples and said, "This is the new covenant written in my blood. As you receive the cup, hold it, reflect on it, and think of the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf provided by Christ." May the deacons come and prepare the table. cup that we hold has meaning beyond our comprehension. Filled with majesty and mystery, a cup representing our grace, our forgiveness, most importantly, representing the new life we have in Christ. This do in remembrance of me. May we stand together. In a moment, we will invite you to share the passing of the peace, and then we will go straight into singing our time of commitment. And as Alan leads us in singing in a few moments, may that time be a time we each commit ourselves to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. But for now, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us joyfully pass the peace of Christ. I say Alan again.
Everyone's going to leave.
Yeah.
Join me in singing this, our commitment this morning. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Hymn number 664.
We're going to move into a time of celebrating and blessing and sending forth our graduates, and that time is going to begin, as is our custom here, with a slideshow. Yes, we do still have the slideshow working on the screen, so it's a little bit new way of doing it, but after that, we'll have some more time of celebrating our graduates.
Thank you.
is my Ebenezer. Here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Precious blood. From sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothed then in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransomed soul away. Send thy now to carry me to realms of endless day. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my can seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts
above. There's probably not a lot more I need to say to follow that, as it, the pictures and the stories that you see through the pictures tell much of the story on their own. But let me also add, for those that don't know, how special of a class this is to me. And I know I've told them that repeatedly, but this is a class that was starting high school the week that I started here. And so it's been a privilege for me over the years to see the way that they have loved God, the way that they love each other, the way that they've loved their church and their youth group, and also the way that they've loved me. So I thank you for that. We're going to move into a time of a small gift that we give to each of the graduates and letting them come forward to receive that. And a couple points of order. I'm going to invite Dr. Howard up, and he's going to have some books. I'll stand to the side so that I will not be in the way. And what I'd like to ask as well is, as each graduate comes forward, when I call their name, I'm going to invite also, as they're walking, their family to stand with them so that people can know who to associate with who. And that's a surprise. I guess I forgot to tell people that. So. Thanks. But first, we'll do them in alphabetical order. Lauren Emmons. And Lauren is graduating from Sanderson High School, and she will be attending Baylor. Eliza King. Eliza is also graduating from Sanderson High School and will be attending Appalachian State. June Milliken. June is also graduating from Sanderson High School and will be attending Appalachian State. Got a lot of Sandersons this year, you might have picked up on that. Betsy Mueller. Betsy is also graduating from Sanderson High School and will be attending UNC. Hunter Utz. Hunter is graduating from Sanderson High School and will be attending ECU.
best wishes to you.
Megan Perry. Megan has already graduated from North Raleigh Christian Academy and will be attending UNC as well. Natalie Poirier. Natalie is also graduating from Sanderson High School and will be attending Wake Tech and hopes to go to NC State soon. Lindsay Worley. And Lindsay is also graduating from Sanderson High School and plans to attend at UNC in the fall as well. And let us have a prayer of blessing over our graduates, if you would bow your heads with me. O gracious and loving God, we come to you this morning in gratitude and in celebration, as these students move from one season of life to the next. We are grateful for these sons and daughters of God, your children, who have blessed this church by their faithfulness and love. We have had the pleasure of seeing each of them grow into adulthood, men and women who continue to be witnesses to your redeeming love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your everlasting presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Thank you that you will continue to love your world through each of them. We are so blessed to have participated in your nurturing of these students. For Lauren, Eliza, June, Betsy, Hunter, Thomas, Megan, Natalie, and Lindsay, may Greystone be a place of comfort and of peace as they transition out of high school. May Greystone be a place of home when presented with the challenges of college. And may the grace and mercy of the Lord go with them. And for our college graduates, Sam, Julie, Sarah Gray, Kevin, Brittany, and Rachel, may they be blessed in all that they are and in all that they may do, being reminded that this life is a gift for the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So may God's blessing follow as they find new journeys. May they walk safely along the pathways of their dreams. May the gentle hand of God guide the passions that they will follow. And may their hearts always reflect the love of God. For it is in the name of Jesus who was and still is the Christ that we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask our students to stand and come so that they may be greeted after the service. And as they do, come on, let everybody see you. And as they do this, a couple of questions. I'm going to invite you, as the congregation seated here, to stand first. If any of you helped nurture any of these students in the nursery or worship care or preschool, go ahead, stand. I'm sure many of you did. Also stand if you remember teaching any of them in their children's Sunday school classes or VBS. I know some of you have. They mentioned it during our breakfast. Stay standing if you stood. I want you to stand now if you've helped teach any of them during their youth years, going on trips with them, retreats, helping out to teach or lead in Sunday school, anything involved with any of those. If you've been in youth group with them, you're invited to stand. That's that corner over there. And if you affirm that you want them to feel blessed as they go from this place, would you also stand together? I hope you'll pay attention. You know, that what's the saying? It takes a church. And I hope you'll pay attention to all of those who've been involved to bring you to this place. We're grateful for you, and we know that you're grateful for this group. Just a few notes as we close our service this morning. I do want you to know that Will Walker joined the church by profession of faith in the early service this morning. We are excited to share that news with he and his family and with you as a church family. So we do hope that the next time you see Will or any of his family, you'll welcome him into our community. And do know that next week we'll be celebrating baptism. And I know there are some that have already been talked to, but if there is any that have made recent decisions regarding baptism and have not heard anything from us, please feel free to reach out to me or any of the other staff about details for that for next Sunday as we look forward to celebrating the continued presence and movement of the Holy Spirit amongst this community of faith. And now as you remain standing, we will soon sing a song together, and please know that after, the graduates will be remaining up front so that you may come and greet them this morning. Let us sing.
It has truly been good to be together. And now, whether you are a rising preschooler, a graduating senior, or a senior saint, as we go, may we go motivated by grace to serve faithfully, to live joyfully, and to share the love of Jesus in word and in deed. May God bless. Amen.